the wise and sensible development of Northern Australia is in everybody's best interests. Because there are some very special things about Northern Australia. I mean, demographically, it's never going to have the majority of Australia's population. It's an extraordinary natural resource. That doesn't mean you can't have very significant resource development projects within that whole landscape. It's not as if the country's empty or wasted or going to waste. It's actually being valued just differently from the manicured, closely tended farmland down south.
Are these concessional loans, the offer of $5 billion, does that put at risk the environmental and the cultural sensitivities of this region?
Not if it's done well. With any of these developments, if they're extremely well conceived, well planned and well implemented, then you can often manage off-site impacts and downstream impacts very well.
It's a wonderful theory. Can it be done?
Unfortunately, the legacy is much more spotty. Just in the NT, we have 1,000 legacy mine sites, many of which are delivering ongoing environmental problems that are having to be rectified by the taxpayer. And the companies that caused them are long gone broken, disappeared off the scene. And so it's really important that we think about these sorts of projects in a whole of life, which includes after the mine or whatever is decommissioned. And to date, we haven't had very successful mechanisms for doing that. And the public investment is done with an eye to the public good, and not just picking up projects that banks wouldn't touch, then there's a potential for it to be extremely good value for taxpayers' investment.
Would you expect a board to be nominated to make those decisions? Would you hope that would be addressed in the white paper?
You would expect some governance arrangements that are professional, independent, competent, and fact-based, well-informed by proper analysis now. There are a range of ways of achieving that sort of governance, but usually some sort of independent authority would be the way of making investments of such a significant nature, not just in terms of the amount of upfront cash, but the duration of these investments. They have very significant spillover effects.
What's changed now? Why is Northern Australian development a bit of a buzzword?
I don't think the fundamentals have changed much. We tend to see political fashions come and go, and every generation or so there's a new push to develop the north. The first parliamentary inquiry into developing Northern Australia was in about 1911, so this isn't the first time that this emphasis has come around. There are actually very good reasons why there hasn't been an enormous amount of development in the north over the last 200 years. It's not as if no one's thought of it before or no one's had a go. There are very good reasons why we haven't seen the sort of development that people sitting in their armchairs down south might casually expect.
The federal government announced concessional loans to government and the private sector worth $5 billion. What did you think on budget night when you heard that?
Potentially that's very good. Obviously, it depends what those monies are loaned for. You wouldn't want to see a situation where they funded projects that the private sector wouldn't touch and that would not otherwise be viable and that had a very limited public good. If you're using taxpayers' money to underwrite projects that couldn't get funded otherwise, then presumably there would have to be a strong national interest or public good test applying to those, and hopefully a very rigorous benefit-cost analysis underpinning them.